Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Robin Scott, drink a Bordeaux from Chateau Bourdonnieu. More specifically, their Côtes de Bordeaux. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by a festive Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Ho, ho, ho. It's very festive in here.
Who are you talking about?
He's talking about me.
Well, you are.
Rumors get started that way, you asshole.
You start your own rumors.
I am demure. I am not a lady of the night, as you might say.
Well, you're a man.
Well, yeah, well... Sort of. Yes. I am manly. I'm very
manly. No, you're not manly.
I know I am. I've got a very hairy chest. Yes.
That's only because you covered it with sheepskin.
Do you want to lay your head on it? Anyway, let's shut him up.
Anyway, on to...
Hold Wilford now.
Yes, right.
Oh, hold his heart.
On tonight's show, folks. We are going back to wine. We've had a version of this wine before.
Sort of.
This is the Chateau Bourdonnieu. And if you think back, early last season, we did a show where we had new Bordeaux versus old Bordeaux. Old Bordeaux was Chateau Ponet-Canet, which won the comparison. But the first one we had was Chateau Bourdonnieu and their N1, or was it N1?
I don't remember. I remember the Ponet-Canet. I don't remember what it went up against. I don't remember that wine.
N1. This, though, is their just straight Côte de Bordeaux. Why they have those two different wines? They're both in the teens. Why they have those two different wines, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, this one at 15 bones.
We never discover that. I'm sure Scott will Google it and then suddenly say, guess what? The Bourdonnieu is... I'm going to let Scott do that because I can't pronounce or type Bourdonnieu. But
Bordeaux.
There's probably a very good reason why they have two different wines.
So I'm on thewine.com on this Chateau Bourdeaux and I hit view all products. It went to Sauru Koenig Finding Matches, but it's on the Mexican wine page.
Mexican wine page?
That's what it says. It went to the Mexican wine page.
Why does it have a Mexican wine page?
I don't know.
That sounds a little racist.
Well, you'd sound a little racist.
Well, yeah.
Tamaulipas.
Tamaulipas?
Tamaulipas.
It's not important to me how it's spelled.
I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. They all named Maria because you made that joke once.
Easy. No, you made that joke.
That's not
sir.
A joke. I wasn't really, you know.
Lord.
Whatever. You're so much a dick.
Yeah, the only hit I'm getting on wine.com is this one, buddy.
Oh, we can't find any show out of stock. We can't find any matches. You dickheads.
No, it's showing out of stock. It's just.
Well, it is out of stock. You're out of stock. Anyway.
Oh, the number one. So we did the Bordeaux number one.
Yes. And I don't know, what is the blend on the Bordeaux number one?
It was Merlot based. False. Yes. 89%. Merlot, 8% Cab, 3% Malbec. Well, this is.
See, right there it is.
Yeah.
We have an empty bottle on the table now of the N1.
This is 87-10, 3 Cab Franc.
Oh, so it's a different blend, first of all. So we know that. And the winemaker's notes. The most classic cuvee of Chateau Bourdonnieu is elaborated in order to offer a fruity and supple wine that, while respecting the spirit of the terroir and appellation. It is an ode to Merlot in the region of Blaye. The blend is 80%. Oh, you already said that. 87-10-3. Interesting.
You know
what?
Wolford needs to read this review.
I will when we come back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So the Chateau Bourdonnais, the standard, it does have a review. And it, just to point this out, the N1 got 95 of the decanter's points, but fuck that.
Yes, that's right. The decanter. Yes, yes. Canter. You know, that's a way a horse trots. Did you know that?
A decanter.
No, 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 just canter.
Mm.
Or I don't know.
An Italian tenor?
It could be. I don't know much about horses, but I did go to Tijuana one time.
I thought you knew a lot about horses.
Well, I learned a lot in Tijuana at that bar.
Weren't they burros?
No, it was a woman.
Donkeys?
It was a woman and a horse. I don't know. No, it wasn't a donkey. This is a horse. Trust me. It's fantastic.
If there's one thing I'm not going to do, Wilford, that's trust you.
Why?
You're slightly less than trustworthy.
You know,
sir.
You never let me make you a drink, and I would love to do that.
I know you would.
That's right. You'd end up in Tijuana with one less kidney. So, anyway. And I wouldn't donate it.
So.
Oh, I'm sorry. The decanter. Flamboyant and deep, with ample, lush, and fresh forest fruits. Bramble and cassis, with ascending sweet, spicy, swiftly following. That's complicated. A super brooding wine which will shine brighter with time.
What was the score? Wolf?
97 of their fucking points. 90 fucking seven.
Well, they gave the number one 95.
90 fucking seven. Jesus Christ.
It's quite a discount. You know, that number one went for $18. This one goes for $15, but it got 97.
97.
Yes. Now, just give you.
They just released the hostages in Coffeyville.
Okay.
We're recording this the night of the hostages in the Temple of Israel in Coffeyville, Texas. And the hostages are released. Hopefully all okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, the region itself, Blaye Côtes de Bordeaux. It's kind of an interesting. There's a lot of little satellite areas within Bordeaux. So you think about Pouillac, you think about this or that, and that's just one little aspect of Bordeaux. The town of Blaye, though, they produce both red and white, and also some rosé and sparkling wines. But they make wines that are nice. However, they are not as grand, nor are they as ageable as some of the like Pouillac or a Pomerol or something like that. But they still make very nice things that are inexpensive. And there's a lot of things that Saint-Emilion has a lot of satellites, so a good value can always be found in Bordeaux in the satellite region. So if you see it's Bordeaux, but you say, "Well, what the hell is that?" Saint-Emilion. Blah, 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 blah. Well, that's a satellite, Saint-Emilion. This, what is Côtes de Bordeaux? It's a satellite appellation of Bordeaux.
Côte de Blaye.
Mm-hmm. But very, very nice. So always give it a try. Always give these things a try.
It's actually a large region inside of Bordeaux.
No, no. Yeah, I mean,
it's huge.
Well, predominantly, a lot of the grapes grown are going to a lot of the lesser grapes. A lot of lesser wines like this. But Bourdonnais makes a living off this kind of stuff. So, what vintage is this, by the way?
19.
Okay, so is the N1. So, all right, in the glass.
It's a beauty.
It is very, very pretty.
It I don't know that I would pick it for Merlot just to look at it in the glass, but...
Well, Bordeaux Merlot is not necessarily Merlot as we would...
There's a lot of tartaric acid crystals.
There are.
Which can be an indicator of acidity.
A nice little zip on the nose of red raspberry.
Leather on the nose.
Yeah, it's muted, but there is a little bit of leather.
I don't know what I think about this nose. It's not hitting me well.
It's not Bordeaux-y.
At all.
No. It's more like a Zin.
Maybe. Yeah.
Slightly prickly, too, which I don't normally attribute to Bordeaux.
It just doesn't seem like a natural nose. Yeah, when I think Bordeaux, I don't think of this nose.
No. No, I agree.
Now, if it wasn't Bordeaux, I'd probably go, okay, it's an unusual nose.
Mm-hmm.
But this one strikes me.
A little strawberry hubba bubba as well.
It gives me pause.
Boaz pause.
Four.
That's right. Woof, woof. So, here we go. I'm going to go in.
Let's go in. By the way, folks, I do love a Bordeaux Right Bank Merlot blend.
But that is tasty. Slightly short, but big on the front palate.
You're slightly short. Shitely. You're shitely. You're definitely shitely.
When I said short, I take that back.
That is wrong. How dare you, sir?
That is some subtle length that comes out there, doesn't it?
Astringent. Very astringent.
Where's my phone?
Classic.
I have a couple bottles of this, but I need a lot more.
This is really good. You know, it's not the most complex thing. I think
the finish is still going.
I think Decanter gave it a lot of its points.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points for something that's fairly straightforward. But what this is straightforward about, it's really good.
First of all, I wouldn't say it's simple. There is a lot of things going on here. But the length, and it's still going. That French oak just lingers and lingers and lingers and lingers. We're going into, what, a minute? $14 bottles of wine don't have that kind of finish. That's the grandest finish I've had in an inexpensive wine in a long time. Slightly buttery, too, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it starts off feeling like it's going to be a little oily, but then it's buttery, though. It becomes more delicate.
There's big blackberry, juicy blackberry on the front palate.
And it pops back up in the finish.
It does. It never quite leaves, though. It's always kind of like there.
That blackberry is kind of always there. That's really interesting in a French wine. I wonder if... I wonder if this would be as accepted...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
In France, because of that blackberry.
Well, but it isn't an Americanized label.
Well, I don't care whether they'd accept it or not. I'm accepting it. I'm very accepting. I'm very accepting that way. This is wonderful. This is this shows the mellow side of the Merlot grape.
You don't even want to talk about it. You just want to sit back and say, fuck it. I'm sitting in a very comfy chair, and I'm going to drink until I pass out. I mean, that's this wine. The wine is just our wheelhouse. You parked it in the fucking, you're like, pull up. You're like, yep, there it is. And just say, fuck it. And you're, I mean, it's like, I don't even want to do this show anymore. I just want to fucking drink.
So
this is like getting turnt. You're just like, ah, fuck it. But this wine is that good. You're like, man, I just want to sit there and say, fuck it.
Remember I texted you or I called you about those...
What?
New York strip roast.
Oh, yeah.
So you take a couple of those steaks, chunk them, brown them, let them rest, and then you do a combination of burgundy / stroganoff, carrots and potatoes. Just slow cook it over the stove, and then a couple bottles of this. That's a nice day, son.
Well, the Bourgeois I made.
Or the Bourgeois.
Next time.
It's this calls for French-style cooking, though. Of gravy.
This is really tasty. Triple B would not like this. She would give an
88. Oh, no. I think she would like this.
She didn't like Edge. She gave an 88.
Don't be so judgmental.
I'm not.
Be accepting.
This is a review show, man. We're supposed to be judgmental. I'm reviewing Becky's reviews.
You're not supposed to judge her.
I'm going to judge her. I'm doing it.
You hit her in the head with a cork.
I did. I'm not gonna forget about that anytime soon.
No, the person who's not gonna forget about that anytime soon is her.
I know. She tried to throw it at me, but it hit me right here.
No, it hit you. That was a good shot.
It was protected though. She hit me in the headphones. That's right.
Yeah, but you weren't protected enough because your face got immediately red.
That was from sulfites.
No, that wasn't from sulfites.
She's very angry with me.
Actually, she was surprisingly calm.
That's true. I should throw things at her more often.
No, you probably shouldn't.
I have a battery right here I could chuck at her.
She's probably waiting upstairs with a steak knife.
She's passed out.
I'm going to read my trashy books and then pass out. Then I'm going to do a pickup under the bridge and get my instructions for the next wine we drink.
88. Pisses me off. That's okay. That's then. This is the now.
Don't be bitter.
The Bourdonnier.
Oh, really botching that name.
I don't care.
Bordeaux.
I know. It is Bordeaux, isn't it?
It's probably pronounced Bordeaux.
I put an N in there just for fun. It is Bordeaux, but Bourdonnier.
You Bordeaux me.
I know.
You're so Bordeauxing.
It's true. But lovely wine. You know, think back early on the show when we had what the hell is it? I can't remember what it is anymore. I'm looking for it up there. Oh, it's the Old De Leon. Remember that? Chateau Old De Leon? How that blew our minds. We gave it 90s.
This is good.
We've had
like
so
that
many
is.
Wines that are as good like that as or better than that.
But
since then.
Honestly, this reminds me more of Louis in that this has that elegance. Old De Leon, that was a animal. That was a brute. That was a beast. That was a burly thing.
The Chateau La Prade, you remember that? That was a brute. That was a beast.
Yes.
That wine was big.
But that wasn't in the class of Old De Leon
or Louis. Way above those.
Okay.
It's right there. We gave it 92s and 93s.
I understand, but it wasn't $10.99.
No. It was 20. It's 20.
I thought 30.
20.
Okay.
It's a shame that we can't get that in Ohio currently because that's something you would buy consistently. That and Edge Cabernet because I gave it an 82, but that's okay.
This.
You're like steam escaping.
Should be bought continuously.
This wine? This is great.
Continuously.
Oh, this is only $14.99, man.
You know who would love? My cousin would love this.
Yeah, he would.
But listen, folks, this is. You need proper glassware for this wine.
You need Bordeaux. We're not using the Grand Bordeaux stuff, but sometimes I think that's over. Grand Bordeaux glasses are great, except for the fact that sometimes you have to realize you have to dial back on it. This wine doesn't have the aromatics to really be caught by that wine. So we're doing Vinum Cab Merlot glasses, and that's the proper...
You need a Merlot glass. Yeah. At a minimum, you need a Merlot glass.
Sometimes I find, like I just did, Eau Claire Bees. That Trader Joe's Cabernet, mm-hmm. That Bordeaux.
I like it.
I use the New World Syrah glasses on that.
Okay.
Simply because sometimes that can be a little bit pungent. And so that
dials it back a little bit.
It just gives it Chilean reds. Sometimes I use those glasses because it just dials it back, softens it just a little bit on the palate. So big Zins, big ugly high alcohol Zins. Sometimes I put them in those New World Syrah glasses just to dial it back a little bit.
I go the other way. Sometimes those big burly Zins, I'll put them in that big tall extra capacity cab glass.
Oh, no. What about those Overture Magnums?
Yes, that's exactly what
I'm talking about. Well, those are red wine glasses. You can put anything in those things. I mean, those are good. I mean,
but you want...
I would like you to bring those sometime. We'll use those on the second show sometime.
Okay.
I've never tried those. I think those are really cool glasses. Slightly shorter stem.
Let's break this wine down. Mm-hmm. I think we've flown past it a little bit.
No, let's go. Let me just, because my glass is getting a little light. You've got plenty in there. You don't need any more.
You had more in your glass than I did.
That's true. Here we go. Hey, you got.
Oh, my Lord.
Saving all the wine for me. So let's break this down. The nose isn't.
It's still a weird nose. I don't care. It's fine. Just blow past the nose, folks.
Bright, lively blackberry. That really, the astringency on the mid palate really does. I mean, you know it's Merlot with the astringency right there, but it's also slightly tannic too. A nice chewiness from all of that as well.
There is a slight kiss of acid, just a little acidity right in the middle of the finish.
From the swells, that would make sense.
It's nice, though. I think there's an earthy component in there. Slightly
chocolatey, mocha-esque.
Not as chocolatey as some Merlot-based wines can
It's Bordeaux, but it's still... You breathe out. After that finish comes through, everything that's left over, what's there is chocolate.
Yeah. And like a really dry baker's chocolate.
Yeah.
That earthy thing is maybe like, not fresh thyme, but like a dried thyme almost. Maybe it's towards.
I don't think it gets that herbaceous. I mean, more baking spices if you're going to ask me. I mean. More of a clove, nutmeg kind of thing.
I think there's a clove thing going on, but I think that thyme's there as well. You know what else there's just slightly?
What's that?
Just a hint of prune. Just a hint, a kiss of prune.
No, there is. I agree. There's always, though, with these kind of wines that come across, it has a slight overripeness, which is great.
Yeah.
That's always a prune quote, because that's always prunes overripe. Think of it, if you said raisin, then there'd be some residual sugar. Prune, there isn't in the wine.
And the length on this is so shocking.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to truly get the length out of this wine, you really have to pull air over.
You do. Quaffing, you're going to miss 75% of the wine.
You're not going to get the length on the finish if you just quaff it, if you just sip it. Pull air. You know, it's been a while since we've talked about the technique for doing that. We need to work that up and work that into an episode again. But, you know, you take your wine in your mouth, you cup the tongue, and then you draw air over it. You hear us kind of gurgling the wine. You develop your own technique, but that's the nuts and bolts of it. But when you draw air over this wine, it just lengthens the finish to a ridiculous, ridiculous amount of time. You know, I go back and forth. I love Grenache, but there's times where I like Merlot more than Grenache.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Under the right circumstances. Well, first of all, Grenache, we like Grenache when it is in its grandest stage. Inexpensive Grenache, I don't think either one of us necessarily.
We've had some bad ones.
Well,
it's hard to do consistently when it's an inconsistent. When it's a cheaper Grenache. There's the one that Princess gets from Grain and Grape, and we had one on the show.
Goats to Rome?
Yeah, and it just...
Gotarinas.
Yeah, Gotarinas.
Gotarinas.
Yeah, it.
It's fine,
but that's our friend Leanne. That's her go-to wine.
Well, there's. I mean, yeah, it's fine, but
and it's fine. No, but for a $9 bottle, it's fine. There's some variation, but it's fine.
Bottle variation. For me, we talk about you and I think we are very good at. Cherry picking. And we are little hawks where we wait for wines to go to the cheap price and we swoop in and we buy everything we want of the wines we already like and we can anticipate when they're going to be cheap. I just bought a bunch of Segesio on cheap.
Been back at it again. He goes in there with his pocket knife, damages the label, and then next day's in there, it's $12 for a 22 bottle of wine.
Scratch and dent, motherfucker. But we spend a lot of time, if we're going to drink something cheap, it's been very much vetted before we touch that shit.
Usually.
I mean, Predicolo is one, but Predicolo isn't your typical one.
No.
I don't know about the 19. What was it? Alvin. Alvin, our esteemed listener Alvin, just said he was going to try Predicolo. He just liked Gunlock Bunchu. He's going to move on and
great
try
wine.
The Predicolo.
Alvin, try this one, buddy.
Yeah, the Chateau Bourdonnais. Yeah. Stretch your palate a little bit.
Many things we do on the show here, depending on your market, you may or may not have them on the shelves. So wine service, wine accounts, we use wine.com.
Mm-hmm.
Had some issues with them. They've narrowed their selection for us for our market. But it's hard.
In a vindictive sense.
But. It's hard to beat the deals they have because you can, on an annual basis, you pay, $55, $53, and it's free shipping for the entire year.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
You know, you
can buy direct. Reasonable sometimes.
Shipping is $5 to $7 a bottle.
That's reasonable, but that's very rare. Occasionally, I mean, I do buy direct occasionally. I buy direct sometimes. Well, Turley, we buy direct from Turley.
We buy from Turley, and it's a kind of a sliding scale. The more you buy, the cheaper per bottle the shipping is.
I buy from Pedroncelli. I've bought from Ridge. Over the next year, I'm going to buy Ridge quite a bit. I'm still going to buy it because Ridge, there are things that they sell winery only that I like. That I want to buy. I bought that San Lorenz.
I don't even know what the hell it is.
I just bought it because it's fantastic. And I like Ridge. Probably because I like the labels. But I love their wine. Their wine's great.
Yeah, the labels are austere.
Yeah, the wine is exceptional. I've been there. I have a connection to it. And I love Turley. I've never been to Turley. I've been to Ridge, and I love that place dearly.
Yeah, they're moving up the charts for me.
I love Ridge. I mean, you can't help but not love their. When have they ever had a bad wine?
We haven't had one.
I mean, same thing with Turley. You can say the same thing from Turley, but
we've had wines from Turley that weren't our. Vibe or whatever.
I've never had anything.
But I've never
like
had
them.
A bad one.
Yeah, I've never had something that, from Ridge that wasn't my vibe. By the way, I just bought a couple old vine zins from Turley off wine.com for Becky.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, the 19. I don't really have any old vine zin. We drink it all, and so everything else I have are, quite frankly, Cedarman, and she hates. I mean, I have so much fucking Cedarman.
I'll trade you some old vine for some Cedarman.
We could have
a trade.
Or Mead Ranch or, all sorts of stuff. I mean, I have rando stuff.
Why is it that I'm going to have to start buying extra wine from my allocation so that your wife can have proper wine that she likes?
I don't care. Last night we had a dry...
I'm going to hit you in the face with a cork.
Dry Creek.
I don't care.
The Dry Creek Vineyard Zin, right? I sent a picture. And Becky didn't like it.
What?
This bottle, not to defend her, but this bottle was a little bit spritzy. Mm. I don't know. It's an 18. It's not like it's old, but it was a little bit. I didn't admit this to her, naturally. Whatever. I didn't want to make her think she's right. But
how dare you?
No, it had a bit of a spritziness to it. It wasn't bad, but it certainly did not. It's,
Dry Creek should not have any acidity to it at all. It really shouldn't. It shouldn't. Forget being spritzy. It shouldn't be acidic.
It really. It was missing an element or two, and a lot of the back. It wasn't a bad wine, but it didn't have that decadent backbone that they normally do have. And yeah, it was a little unusual.
You know, I'm trying to.
Still a very good wine that you can drink.
I'm trying to look and think back the last time I had not just Dry Creek the winery, but a Dry Creek Zin, and I don't recall, Rob.
Well, I tasted it, and I said, you know what? I know Becky loves Dry Creek Zin. I don't think she's going to get down with this tonight. And I was right. She didn't.
You didn't predict it. She predicted to you that it was spritzy, and then you didn't want to admit she was right.
She hadn't tasted it. I drank half the damn bottle before she tasted it because she didn't trust me. She didn't know what it was. Whatever. So,
why does she put up with you?
Nobody says she does. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
I love it.
And we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Scott, I off the air. I was thinking back over our earliest episodes. Because we've been doing this. This is season six. Well, I assume
five plus years.
This is probably a Wednesday episode because I release these occasionally. But yeah, 5.5 years, something like that. And we're thinking back, like the first episode we put out. Now, this wasn't the first one we drank, but it was the first one we released. Anymore, we try to be sequential, so we look at it and go, well, you know, we did A, B, C, D, F, G, so we should do A, B, C, D, F, G. And you kind of get a feel of, oh, well, it flows because, you know, we'll record on this is a Saturday night, but normally it's a Sunday night, which is smart because you go back to work on Monday and we're all drunk and shit. But that's okay. So it's a Saturday night, and so that means next week. So not next Sunday because that would be the first episode, but like next Wednesday, the Wednesday after that would be when this would be released. Right. And so, we're thinking back to our earliest episodes. And that's back when we didn't understand how GarageBand worked or the fact that you needed adapters for this or that. We didn't know anything like that. I mean, it would be in mono. So you'd be losing your mind. You'd be sitting there and it'd be coming out one fucking speaker. Not, you know, Scott and I would be like, on two, no, one fucking side, left or right. So your one speaker would work.
In our audience of four people, it would blow their minds.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that. But so we were thinking, the first episode we did was Dealey Lane Pinot Noir. Now, we gave that 90. Folks, have you seen Dealey Lane? I've never seen it since then.
I know.
It doesn't exist anymore.
I know. I forgot that was the first aired episode.
I think the second one, maybe it was when Becky's friend Mary Scott was here. And Becky's, Mary Scott and I did, Mary, don't call me Scott. We did a Turley. It was
Judge Bell.
Yeah, Judge Bell.
Or did you do Judge Bell with Phil and Cindy?
No, Cindy and Phil, did those ever air? They might have early on. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
To go back and look at that. Although I don't know, even sure that's available anywhere because it's not even on our website. Maybe it is. I'll have to take a look at that. Because we did, Cindy, Phil and I, we did Segesio. We did like something from Gwenock. That was the only time they've been on. I need to get them back on sometime.
Why need to get Phil on as a regular member?
Well, I know, but
it's right next door.
I know. Cindy, though,
he's bashful.
Cindy's been battling COVID. She still is COVID positive 2 weeks in.
Is she ill or she's just struggling?
So it feels like crap.
My niece slash cousin, she had it bad. It's her second go around with it. And
yeah. Cindy's
she's a young college age
vaccinated,
kid.
Boosted, everything, but she just, you know, it's still kicking her ass.
I think it's from drinking all that Winking Al.
Yeah, you don't have COVID. You've just been drinking Winking Al. But
I got long COVID. No, you got long Winking Al.
Yeah, you said same symptoms. But
you have very pretty eyelashes. It's from drinking Winking Al.
It's true. I remember we liked Bogle Essential Red. Remember that?
Well,
I said,
dude, it was good for a long time, and then it changed.
I said you could taste every varietal that's in it. I don't remember what the Zin, Merlot. I don't know what the hell was in it, but
where's Becky when you need her?
What was it?
Gnarly Head?
Gnarly.
Dude, that shit was bad.
Terrible. Well, I don't know what that. We were just like,
what was the bad south of the border?
Pepperwood Grove.
Pepperwood Grove. You never given that.
One night.
Oh my God.
It was you and I, Becky, and your
Debbie.
Wife, Deb. That was the one time she was on. And
wasn't Hank on?
No.
Wasn't Hank on the same night Debbie was?
No. We did five or six different wines.
Yeah.
And so we did Meiomi Pinot Noir.
The longer.
Steve might have been there, too.
Steve was there, too. The deeper we got into the show, the quieter Deb got.
Yeah. We did some sort of Bordeaux, not unlike this.
We did a Bordeaux that night?
Yeah. We did Numanthia.
Yeah, you pulled out a special. You pulled out something else nice.
Pepperwood Grove. And we did Chateau Souverain.
Oh.
Cabernet. That's what we would do. We would tape like 18 episodes in one night. And we're like, oh, these all suck because we're all fucking drunk.
But you had to find your way. But yeah, Chateau Souverain. Oh, that was especially a bad wine.
That was very acidic. It was very acidic.
You know, we should do an episode of bringing back all the really, really bad wines.
We did a Souverain Redemption episode.
No, I'm talking about bringing them all, like doing like seven bottles on at one time and comparing for which is the fucking worst.
That's a great, who is going to curate that?
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, no.
19 Crimes.
Oh.
Chateau Souverain. Pepperwood Grove, if we could find it.
You can find
it. What else? What else would be on there? That's four really, really, really,
OZV.
Really
OZV. It's still there. We have the bottle of OZV that sits right next to Scott that says, I suck on it.
And it's got pieces of cheese in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as bad as the McDonald's experiment from the Super Size Me movie.
See, show the man, I originally came about on the OZV episode, and
that was your original appearance.
Yes, it was. No one called me the Southern Man. They said I was the winemaker of OZV. And what happened was, my grandmother died, and we put a spigot in her coffin, and from the juices of her body, we made OZV.
Oh God! I thought Southern Man made an appearance in the Jack London episode too, maybe.
I was not around for. There were no voices in the Jack London episode.
Son, we've always done voices. They're just not as delicate.
The first voice was James Suckling.
I think the first voice was Steve's fatty liver, Marge.
Oh God! Well, Marge was around, but yeah, we don't do that anymore because Steve isn't on anymore.
Well, his liver's much more healthy. He's
people
healthy
are probably sad
now.
About Steve. Steve is
nobody's sadder, more sad about Steve than Steve.
That's true. I'm fine, but that's okay.
Well, we miss him.
I'm sure Steve will be back on sometime.
Probably not.
Nah, I think he will. I mean, that's he comes up around occasionally. You know, he's got
probably not.
He's got to have a wife that doesn't have a peg leg first.
Well,
you know, and then maybe
tripping her down the stairs. Listen, you tripped your wife and broke her leg. He was just trying to follow footsteps.
I pushed her, and that was trust me. I wish it was me every time. Every time she's smart is a smart ass on this show, but that's okay. giving 88s to great wines, but that's all right. I'm just imagining that.
You're just a bitter, bitter man.
No.
Just very small.
Maybe. But I don't know.
Very small. Small hand. You have small hand, just like that orange-faced former president.
But a big dick. But that's okay.
He is a big dick.
He was. No, sorry. But
you're saying, no, you don't have a big dick. I do. Not, no.
It's very large. 14 inches, man.
No.
Yeah.
What's the song I sing?
Big 10 inch.
Yeah.
You sang that recently, though. It was great.
I am great. They were cheering for me.
They
were cheering for me at the bar.
They
were cheering for me at the bar.
Who's they?
I don't know their names.
Oh, but then
Steve knew their names, though. Steve knew everybody in the bar.
Yeah, that's true. We still see Steve, the what is the superstar is what he is. Yes.
I can't even remember his name.
I don't see him.
But yeah, the early days.
Oh, the early days of the show. I remember when we did Intrinsic. Remember that?
Yeah.
We actually did, we were just talking about it, Dry Creek Vineyards.
Oh.
Zen. But Intrinsic is when we did, that's back when we didn't understand copyright violations. So we played music actually at the end of the show. And we played R. Kelly, who's, you know, very liked. And has he been convicted?
He's in jail.
Yeah,
he's in prison.
Play Bump and
Guilty?
Pump and Grind is what we did. There ain't nothing wrong with Pump and Grind, but well, there is. As he found out, he got...
That Pump and Grind, or was that you used to call me on a cell phone?
No, Steve would sing that, but we never actually played that. It's a Drake song. This was Bump and Grind. We also played, later on, it was...
Strawberry Wine.
Well, Strawberry Wine always. Sven was your Swedish lover, but...
Finnish.
Was he Finnish?
Well, you didn't ever meet him. Never mind.
Swedish, but that's okay. That was, though, on that Fiverr episode where we did
Fiverr?
85 different wines at the same time.
Niner.
We've sang Strawberry Wine several times, but...
Red wine. From the early episodes, one of the things I remember is working our way through the Ravenswood County specific series as Zinfandel.
That's like season two, man.
But that shit was so good.
Well, you and I on an unreleased episode, we did drink the Lodi the first time.
And we liked the Lodi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not a big fan of Lodi for anything other than cabbages. It seems like every bottle I pick up in the store, oh, I've never seen this before, and you go, oh, it's fucking Lodi. And it's shit. It's just not.
Well, Lodi's not that big.
So how is so much wine coming out of Lodi?
Because it's not from Lodi. Oh, son of a... Bubba.
Well, why would you label something Lodi when it wasn't? I mean, where are you getting it from if you're going, hey, this isn't any good. Let's label it Lodi.
Well, some people are under the impression that Lodi is a marketing ploy. And they think, wow.
Most of them are in the cabbage industry.
Lodi denotes quality. Whenever you use a term denotes, you've lost me, because that means your product sucks.
I found on the web on.
You're yelling into your mic, by the way.
Sorry, on the internet, I just fell on the floor, but it's a 5-second rule. It's not like there was like 7 inches of water in here long ago. It was all sewage. I found Josh Sellers' marketing pamphlet online where they were suggesting that you should put the J. Lore. It was not J. Lore. Well, it could be. But Josh Sellers Reserve North Coast, whatever the fuck that crud was, next to premium wines they would think that it was premium. They took that off the website, took that off the internet soon thereafter. But
it was an online posting for the grocery stores and other purveyors for how to help them market Josh by product placement in the store next to really good stuff.
Hey, take our shitty wine and put it next to Pagal, please. It'll sell better.
I think I found a way to make their wine sell better. I made
increase your profit.
Josh Reserves Mississippi Man Backwoods Blend Cabernet from Paso Robles. I think that this label will sell wine. But I think the Mudbutt
Mudbutt blend
would have done better, or the restraining order red.
He's showing a picture to me that y'all can't see. It's
yes,
a picture of me when I scalped myself.
When Scott was being a white supremacist, which is every day.
It's just a really bad haircut. Yes,
I like the Mudbutt blend, but, you know, Josh, you know, I'm sorry, we're Josh. We have standards. No, you don't. I drank your North Coast Reserve. You might as well make Mudbutt blend because, man, you don't have any standards.
I should have labeled that Lodi.
Man, Jesus Christ.
Oh, but that the Ravenswood Lodi, like, it was a bit beastly.
Man.
It was good, too.
You know what? This
For a red hot second, we liked that as well as any of them other than the Napa.
Mm-hmm. You know what, though?
It was the 13, I think. Was it 13 or the 14?
What? Both.
Vintage. Yeah. What else early?
Well, early on the seasons, I'm thinking back. Oh, my gosh.
What's the Italian thing that we both swore you could age?
You, col de sasse.
Col de sasse.
You thought you could age it, man.
You did, said it, too.
And you did age it, and it didn't work.
Didn't go well.
No. Banffy Col de Sasso.
And there were some other labels of it that we got for like $5.
Yeah.
And you remember we tried to do one remote episode. I was in Florida.
Oh, my.
And we did that horrible thing.
Those were the Sicilian wines. It's up there somewhere.
But it was the same line as Col de Sasso. It was the same maker.
No, it wasn't.
It was Banffy.
See that red one? Colossi. It's Colossi.
Oh, Colossi. Excuse me.
Nero de Avola, wasn't it? And it was terrible.
Well, we bought all of them. There was like a series of four different ones. And fortunately, we between the two of us, we bought a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
I remember when we thought
it was drinkable.
Earthquake makes good wines, and they don't.
We liked H3. That one bottle.
Yeah. You tried to trick me on your blind tasting. I don't know. It's just kind of thing when you've done as much as we have, and we have done a lot of wines. Remember how many years ago was it that we did all those McManuses? What, 3 years ago, 2 years
ago? It's been a minute now. And McManuses, folks, it's probably been a while since we talked about McManus.
They're underrated.
It used to be a joke, right? The running joke, the McManuses.
That's back to that. We haven't had any McManuses in quite some time, so they might be.
But it's good.
Not the Zinfandel.
Yeah, that wasn't so good.
No. Stop. And not the Cabernet.
Yeah, the Cabernet was fine.
We had the Petit Verdot and the Petit Syrah. Isn't that what those two are? Take a look at those.
Something else.
Those are both okay.
Yeah. But some interesting things, some surprises. That the freaking Trump wine.
Trump wine was good.
It was good.
And you know what? I Love Pizza is still there.
That was fun.
I know.
Louis Bernard.
You are still fixated on that.
Well, it was freaking fantastic. That was season one, yeah?
It was early on.
Eau de Lyon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, other little finds. Apeltagua.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Clarendon Hills.
Yeah, Hecula. That's different. Oh, fucking Hecula.
I know.
2013 Hecula. Oh, my God.
ZD.
Yeah.
I know, there's so many good things out there. But nevertheless, folks.
Fried Cron of the Merlot.
I would say that.
When we could get that, what, we were getting that for like $19 or something?
Yeah, you could still do that.
Fucking good. I think it's more than that now.
No, I sold it at Giant Eagle in 1999.
Dude, that Fried Cron of Merlot. It's just a departure.
But regardless, we have you to thank for all the seasons, because you keep listening and making all that revenue.
We appreciate you.
We're rich men because of that.
Well, that's true. In spirit.
And emotion. And money. But no, Scott doesn't know about that part.
You're void of
emotion. Let's skip from the fact that we get all these big ass checks. That's okay.
Huge.
I know, Scott.
Huge. Huge.
I know.
It's huge. Amazing. Amazing checks. The size is outlandish. You can't believe how big they are.
Man, we're 10 dollar in errors from the show, but that's okay. So we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back with a review of the Chateau Bourdonnais here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2019 Chateau Bourdonnais, Côte de Bordeaux. Scott, what are your numerical scores for this wine? Well, you have one numerical score, but still.
Well, you know, 97's outlandish. It just is. But I have to be honest, it's just too good to start with any other number than a 9. If you're traditionalist, you might criticize this wine. Bordeaux blends, that's our thing. This is our mojo. This is our thing. I don't care if it's different from traditional. This is fucking good. The length of the finish of the loan gives it 90 plus points. That's how good this finish is. Everything's subtle, but it does have that. It starts off kind of viscous. You think it's going to be oily, then it goes to butter, I think is the term you used.
Yeah.
You know, it's not buttery all the way through, but there's just a moment in time where it's just got that nice little dairy mouthfeel.
Sure.
I'm going to give this a 91 of my points. Mm-hmm. If I range it, I would say probably 90 to 92. I'm going to go 91. I don't think this has the pedigree to age. For me, this is a drink now wine. I don't think we talked about that on the episode.
Because you can't talk about it.
There's a reason, because it's not.
I mean, you can drink it over 3 or 4 years, but you're drinking over 3 or 4 years. You're not holding it. It's yes, it's not something that you're aging. It's that I'll get around to it. It can hold. It's not going to change or improve.
And maybe it'll hold, but maybe it won't either.
Well, when we say age, that means it's going to improve over time. Not it's going to taste somewhat worse, but I can still drink it. That's more I held it on a dare. So that's not aging. Aging is I want it to materially become better.
Yes.
After a certain period of time. This wine won't do that. I'm giving it 91 of my points. I almost put a 2 there, but I put a 91.
It's a fair score.
And the reason why is, as Scott pointed out, ageability. I think that it has holdability. It can sit there for 3 or 4 years. But it's not going to get better. It's going to be it's really where you want it to be right now. Now, although if it's softened a touch, it might be more enjoyable to some people.
I don't know. I don't know how you could enjoy this more than already.
I know. I think it's
God
really good.
Nah, but it's good.
I know. It begs for French, a nice elk tureen or even more prosciutto. I mean, the prosciutto, I kept eating it. And I even dropped some on the damn ground.
Just,
I ate it. It screams for that. I mean,
you could do a hearty soup and salad with this.
Soup and salad?
Yes. Like a beef stew with a nice salad. crackers and cheese.
Beef stroganoff.
And that's the one I said earlier. Beef stroganoff, beef burgundy, carrots and potatoes.
Beef burgundy, yes.
Just, you know, high quality meat.
Short ribs, braised short ribs.
Mm. Oh, you know what would be great with this?
Mm.
Our beef cheek sandwich from the Sycamore.
Well, they don't have that anymore.
I know, but it still exists in our mind.
Beef cheeks and poutine?
Yeah, we had, there was this dish at this restaurant. It's long gone, but they served their spin on an open-faced roast beef sandwich, except he twisted it with poutine. So he did his own poutine, and the gravy, you remember how good the fucking gravy?
Yeah.
Was it a gravy or was it a cream sauce? I'm not really sure.
It was a gravy.
And then it was a mound of that stuff.
Beef
and then
cheeks.
There was this, just a nice clump. Think clump of crab. It was about that size that you'd get served a clump of crab. It was clumpo beef cheeks. The most decadent, fatty beef.
Yeah.
Delicious thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would go so good with this.
I know. This does go in the Hall of Fame. You know? This is better than the M1 by a long shot.
This would be...
The M1 was good, but it was not great.
This
wine is very, very close to being fucking great.
Yeah, this, you know, it's Hall of Fame, but really, you know, this would go top five in the budget value Hall of Fame because it's $15 freaking dollars.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, it's $15.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet in certain markets you can get it for $2-3 cheaper.
Oh, yeah. It's probably $11-12, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see why decanter, but it is a higher score than one the M1. It's a better one than the M1. Just, it is. The M1 is fine. This is really, really good.
Yeah.
This is way better than the M1.
If you like the wines we suggest, this is one worth signing up for wine.com. And mm-hmm. and it's called stewardship, where you get the free shipping.
Yeah.
Yes, $50 is a lot to pay on top of your wine, but then you can buy stuff and you don't pay for the shipping. They bring wine to your house, folks. That's a good. They're good people.
Well, they'll tell you what you saved over the years.
How much we saved in the stewardship program.
I don't want to say what I've spent in the last 3 years, but let's just say there are several figures to it, a lot of zeros. There are cars that could be bought with the amount I've spent. So if you spent shipping on that, it would be more than what I mean. I probably saved because I spent $50 a year.
Oh, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars shipping we've saved.
Thousands of dollars.
I don't think you've saved thousands. Probably between the two of us, more than $1,000.
I'd
each.
Say a couple grand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, would I have ordered the wine had I not had that? No. But that's what drug dealers do.
I remember me trying to talk you into the stewardship program. You're like, Scott, I'm just not going to buy that much wine from wine.com.
Now I do, because that's what drug dealers convince you to do.
God damn, the pusher man.
They are the pusher man. Luckily, they have a lower selection now to push. So, Hall of Fame, tip of the cap to Chateau Bourdonnais. Good job. I'm happy. But nevertheless, for Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver and Rob the Wine Guy, we're going to bid you adieu and say das vidanya.
Das vidanya.
And see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.